The last couple of weeks has just been really on overload. And I thought less is best when it comes to stress, right? I think we can all agree with that. And we can all use a little less stress at times, and sometimes life can be just completely overwhelming, and it definitely causes a lot of unwanted stress. Things we don't really ask for, but it seems like it gets pitched in our lap. Some of it is caused by our own actions. Sometimes we get overwhelmed because of things that we caused, you know, or we tend to, and one thing I tend to do is I don't like to say no. And I get a lot of things on my plate. You know, Jesus was a person who was constantly under pressure. And because of his popularity, people always wanted to be around him, and he had to seek out times of personal privacy. And other people repeatedly misunderstood him. They criticized him and they ridiculed him all the time. And he had an enormous amount of stress on his life. And most of us, I don't think we could handle that kind of stress. We'd just collapse with that kind of pressure. But if you look at the life of Jesus, you quickly discover that he remained at peace under pressure. He was never in a hurry. He was always at ease, and he had a calmness about his life that enabled him to do enormous amount of things with no stress. And I think about, how did he do this? He became human. He became fully man when he came to this earth. But yet he could sleep in the bottom of a boat when a storm was going on. He just had a calmness. He had this way about him. How did he do this? He based his life on sound stress management. You ever heard of that? Sound stress management. These principles, just maybe we can understand, or maybe we can kind of apply maybe some of the principles that Jesus used in our own lives. I think we could experience less pressure and less stress in our life, more peace of mind. So I'm going to share these principles with you this morning that I found. The first principle is identification. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." That's in John 8:12. He also says, "I am the way and the truth and the life." John 14:6. Jesus knew who he was. Here's the first principle of handling stress in your life is this: identification. Know who you are. You know who you are. See, if you're always trying to be someone else, I say this often, if you're always trying to be someone else, one of you is an imposter, eventually. God made us all different. Not one of us is the same. He made us to be who we are and not someone else. And so many times we try to be someone else. We want to be like that person so much, and we take on that stress. This is really important in stress management, because if you don't know who you are, you will let other people pressure you into being somebody that you're not. A lot of stress in life comes from wearing, I call masks. We try to be somebody we're not, and people have expectations of us, and we try to live up to other expectations rather than being what God intended us to be. You know, we live a double life when we do that, and we live under constant pressure. A lot of times, because we're afraid, people will see the real us. And we're insecure in who we really are. But you know what? God made you who you are. He didn't make you like somebody else. He made you who you are. So we live under this constant pressure, but we need to figure out, what we need to figure out is who we are in God's sight, which is most important. That is really the first step in balancing our stress. God put you here for a reason. He put me here for a reason. He made you significant. He made you like He wanted you to be made. It was no accident. It was no mistake. He made you like you are. The Bible says you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. 1 Peter 2:9. You know, if you're a child of God, you are significant because of who you are and whose you are. You're God's. The second principle is stress management is direction. Jesus said this in John 5:30, I do not seek my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. You know, Jesus knew who He was trying to please. It was His Father, and that was His direction, to please His Father. Know who you want to please. You can't please everybody, so you might as well try to please the most important person, and that is God. Amen? I could spend all my life trying to please everybody, and as a pastor, let me tell you, it's impossible. It's impossible to please everybody. It's impossible to do everything right, even though that's my last name. And Leanne will tell you she married Mr. Wright. Well, some days I think she doubts that. And probably for good reason. Jesus knew who He was trying to please, and it was settled. It was a settled issue for Him. He didn't have to doubt who He was trying to please. And if we could just learn that sometimes, I think, you know, we don't have to please everybody around us. We need to please God. And when we please God, then everything around us seems to fall in place. Jesus said in Matthew 3:17, I'm going to please my Father. And the Father replied, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He did that when He got baptized, you know. Seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Matthew 6:33. And I like the other another translation where it says, let your first care be for His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these other things will be given to you in addition. I like that wording. You know, I think that's a great promise, and it means that if I focus on one thing and one thing only, and that's pleasing God, it will simplify my life. And let me tell you, I think I need a simple life. I'm a simple man. I like a simple life. And it seems like when I try to make it more complex, when I try to do things that are out of my character, out of my way, the way God made me, then things get complicated. My main goal should be, and always, is to please God. And I always want to be doing the right thing. And if my main goal is to please God, I shouldn't worry about what anybody else thinks or says about me. Amen? It's God and God alone that I'm dedicated to, and if He will take care of me, I know He will, right? He says He will. He'll take care of me. So why should I worry about things? That fact there alone relieves a lot of stress in my life. The third principle of stress management is destination. Destination. Jesus said, my testimony is true, for I know where I came from and where I'm going. Amen. John 8:14. Jesus knew where He was from and where He was going. He knew what He wanted to accomplish in His life. And how about you? Do you know what you want to accomplish in life? Unless you know where you're going, how will you know if you ever get there? So you plan your life and you set your priorities and you pursue your goals, and if you know what you want to accomplish, it will help relieve a lot of pressure in your life. And I guess maybe I'm not only speaking to the adults here this morning, but also speaking to the young people that have graduated and got life ahead of them. And it's good to set goals. It's good to know where you're going. It's good to have a plan in your life. But most of all, if you're pleasing God and you set your priorities in that, then all the other things will come in place. All the pressures that you face, all the things that you want to accomplish. Every day you either live your life by priorities or you live your life by pressures. Like I said before, sometimes we put a lot of stuff on our own plate. We talk about how sometimes we get life, just we pile up this big plate of stuff that we seem like we can't handle. But a lot of the stuff on that plate we put there. There is no other really option. You either decide what is important in your life or else you let other people tell you what is most important in your life. And so we need to set priorities or we'll live by all these pressures. And this becomes a big problem for many of us when we get too much on our plate to do. And so then we're dictated by all the things that we have to do. You know, and then we run around. Well, I've got this much, you know, we got this big list that we have to get done tomorrow. So we don't have time for anything else. And so that just keeps piling up until next thing you know, our life is just nothing but trying to catch up. I told Stanley this morning, I said, sometimes we're so far behind, we've lapped ourselves. And then we're running against ourselves. Because we're trying to catch ourselves. Does it sound familiar? Am I the only one that's lived that life? If we set goals, then we can evaluate our steps towards that goal. And if we can determine, we can then determine where we're headed. And if we're moving away from it or not. Someone said this, it seems to be a crazy habit of man that when he loses his way, he doubles his speed. Heading in the wrong direction. It's like an Air Force pilot. I read a story one time about an Air Force pilot in World War II who flew out over the Pacific Ocean. And when he radioed in, the controller asked, "Where are you?" And the pilot replied, "I don't know, but I'm making record time." I think a lot of us are like that. They're speeding through life, but they don't know where they're headed most of the time. Principle number four is concentration. And I think some people in Jesus' life, they tried to get him detoured from his planned schedule. They tried to get him off track. And some people try to distract him from his goal in life. And we look at the story there in Luke 4:42, and it says this, "When day came, Jesus left and went to a secluded place, and the crowds were searching for him and came to him and tried to keep him from going away from them. But he said to them, 'I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose.'" There are so many times that we get distracted. What I mean is, by concentration, is this focus on one thing at a time. Jesus was the master at this. It seemed that everybody tried to interrupt him and everyone had a plan B for him, but Jesus always kept right on doing what he knew God wanted him to do. And it was what he was called to do. There in Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost." He was determined. He was persistent and he was concentrated. He concentrated all of his efforts. And, you know, have you ever been in a situation where there seems to be too much to do? more than you can accomplish, and you seem overwhelmed. And I've been there so many times. So I try to do one task at a time. I'm a little ADD. So, you know, I've said this before, and it's true. I'll have 9 projects going, none of them done. Because I start one, and I get busy doing this, and then something else comes up, so I start this, and I'm busy doing this, and the next thing you know, I've got all these projects that are unfinished. And so what I have to do for myself is I have to just focus on one thing at a time and get it until it's done. And that's not easy for me to do. And I know it's not easy for a lot of us to do. One task at a time. And I heard someone say one time, inch by inch, life's a cinch. Yard by yard, life is hard. You know, when I focus on one task at a time, I can get through it. When we concentrate our efforts, we are more effective. You know, light diffused produces a hazy glow, but light concentrated, this light produces a fire. And when you use a magnifying glass to concentrate light on a dry leaf, you can catch that leaf on fire. I mean, a lot of us have done that. Sometimes it wasn't a leaf. Sometimes it was maybe an ant or something. I know, I've. He didn't allow people to make him tense. He didn't allow other people to get in his way. He didn't allow other people to irritate him. He concentrated on the task at hand. Principle number 5 is meditation. In Mark 1:35 it says, in the early morning while it was still dark, Jesus got up and left the house and went away to a secluded place and was praying there. Man, it's so important that we get alone and we meditate. I want to go back for a second and say about the magnifying glass and the it catching fire when we concentrate on something. And you know, when a church can concentrate itself on the task that God has given us, that's when a church catches fire. And that's when God does amazing things. When a church can concentrate on what the main thing is. But part of this, we need to meditate. We need to get alone with God. And Jesus often got up early in the morning and he went out to pray. Now, he could talk with God anywhere, but he needed to be alone. How good is it to be alone sometimes? Just to get away from all the stresses in life and just take a moment and just be alone. Some of the most powerful moments I've ever had with God has been sitting in a deer stand somewhere. I'd forgotten all about maybe hunting. But I get alone and I get to thinking about things in my life and I get to praying, and next thing you know, man, me and God are having a wonderful conversation. And then I don't even care whether I kill a deer or not, you know. Doesn't matter anymore. I think we need to make it a habit of personal prayer. I think it's a gigantic stress relief. Many times when I'm overwhelmed by things, I can just kneel down somewhere or I can just lift up my head to God and things seem to be better. Every time. God is good for letting off your anxieties. Cast your cares on me, he says. I will take your burdens away. How much do I need prayer? I need it. I need it every day in my life. The quiet time, getting alone with God, it's a decompression chamber for me. You know, we need to tell God what's on our mind. We need to give it to Him. We listen to what the Bible says here in Psalms 46:10. It says, "Be still and know that I'm God." I think many of our problems come from our own inability to sit still. We all have a problem with that. We just don't know how to be quiet. And I say this often, it'd be weird if nobody said a word in church for 5 minutes. What if we just took 5 minutes and just said, we're going to concentrate right now on listening to God? It would seem strange, wouldn't it? Because we like the noise. We can't be still hardly. I like the way the Message Bible says this in Psalms 46:10. Step out of the traffic. Take a long, loving look at me, your high God, above politics, above everything else. Take a look at me. Sometimes it's hard to step out of the traffic, out of the rat race of life, and we want to win the race, but we need to start out our morning with a prayer, just like Jesus did. This prayer without ceasing, we've heard. I think this helps us recharge our spiritual batteries. Keeping connected to God is vital stress management. And in our church history, we've set aside Wednesday night as being a prayer meeting. And we've talked about the importance of Wednesday nights. It's our time that we can recharge our batteries. We spend time with each other praying together. I think one of the other principles is relaxation. We need to relax. We need to take time. I think it's hard for us to do sometimes is relax. I remember a cartoon that I used to watch, Elmer Fudd. Does anybody ever watch Elmer Fudd? There was one of the cartoon episodes where he tried to go on vacation. All he wanted was a Whittle West and wee waxation. That's all he wanted. He said that often through the, all I want is a little West and wee waxation. And he never could get it because there was always something in the way. He had a flat tire. And then he had this. And then he had that. And then it was just always something getting in his way. And all he said, all I want is just to relax. How many of us are like that? There's days we just want to relax. We just want to feel like we have no pressure whatsoever, don't we? It's hard to find that place. Mark 6:31 says, "Come away by yourselves to a scheduled place and rest a while. For there were many people coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat." That's what the Scripture says. They were busy, and people were coming and going, and the crowds were getting bigger, and Jesus didn't say to them, "Pick up the pace, let's work harder, we've got to keep up." No, He said, "Come away, and let's get some rest. Let's get away for a while. Take time to rest." This is a principle of relaxation and recreation. And Jesus looked at His disciples and said, "You need a break today." And no, He didn't take them to McDonald's. But we all need that break at times. We all need to get away and we need to relax. And that's okay. It's okay. So they got in a boat and they rowed to the other side of the lake and they went out to a desert place to rest. I think the one reason why Jesus didn't have much stress in His life is because He knew when to relax. He He often went to the mountains. He went to the desert places just to unwind, to get away from it all. You know, in Exodus 31:15, it says, "For 6 days work may be done, but on the seventh day there is a Sabbath of complete rest, a holy day to the Lord." It's in the Ten Commandments. The Sabbath was made for man. Why? Because God knows our physical needs. He knows that we need a break. We need to rest, and I hope that you're doing that. I hope you're taking time to rest. It's good for our physical, it's good for our emotional, and it's good for our spiritual health. That brings me to dedication. Matthew 11:28 says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." This dedication, we just got to give it to God. We got to give our stress to Him. And when I want to relieve my stress, I need to come to Him and look at what He says, "I will give you rest," right? Christ didn't say, "Come to me and I'll give you more guilt, more stress, more worries, more shame." No, He said, "Come to me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So I close with this morning. We all have burdens and that we carry around in life. Some of them are really heavy, and some of them are awkward, and some of them are hurtful. But He has promised us if we could just come to Him and take His yoke, we'll find rest for our souls. We have to trust in Him, and we have to just believe that He will do so. And I know if you're like me, I need a rest. I need a rest today. If you do, then just dedicate your life to Christ first. Come to Him and trust Him and learn from Him, He says. Learn from me. And this morning, I would just encourage you, let's have a come to Jesus moment. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much, Lord, for Your Word. Let us learn from it. Let us learn to be a people who trust You, that can follow after You. Lord, You told Your disciples to go teach people to be like You. And one of those things was learning how to relax, learning how to have less stress in our life, learning to be dedicated, learning to concentrate on the task at hand, but most of all, learning to trust. Trust in You. So Lord, this morning I thank You for this great group of people that have come here today to hear Your Word. Lord, bless each and every one of them this morning. Lord, let them leave better than they came today, knowing that You are with them. Lord, let us trust You today. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen.